Hello everyone, my name is Hamid Abdul Karim and I'll be talking about arbitration today. I'll be providing an overview of arbitration and looking at a few relevant aspects of it for the purpose of giving junior lawyers an idea of what exactly goes into the practice of arbitration. Now, I'll start with what is arbitration. My preferred definition is essentially that arbitration is a method of resolving disputes by referring those disputes to one or more private persons who are called arbitrators. When you have more than one arbitrator, you refer to that as an arbitral tribunal. Now you refer your dispute to them for the purpose of resolving the dispute in a judicial manner. Now that expression is important. Arbitration is one of the means of what we call alternative dispute resolution. What makes arbitration stand out is that the resolution of a dispute is done in what I described as a judicial manner, in essentially the same manner as it will be resolved in court. Other means of dispute resolution, such as mediation, conciliation, etc., they are marked by the fact that you don't have someone who's deciding the disputes. Essentially, you have a third party who is trying to help the parties to resolve the disputes by themselves. But in arbitration, you are essentially sitting in the position of a judge and you are deciding the disputes between the parties. And that's what I mean by resolving the disputes in a judicial manner. Now, when an arbitration is done, the outcome of the arbitral process is called an award. An award is essentially equivalent to a judgment that you would get from the court process. The elements of an award are in the relevant laws that will apply in any relevant case. So I won't bother to go too deeply into that. Now, in terms of our overview, I wanted to touch on two to three more matters. First of all, what are the types of arbitration? I started by describing broadly what arbitration is on the surface level, on essentially the basic level. But there are different types of arbitrations, and arbitration can be done in different forms. Now, one way to look at the types of arbitration would be to think of it in terms of domestic as against international arbitration. When we speak about domestic arbitration, we mean arbitration that does not have any international elements. So Company A and Company B have a contract to construct a building in Dolphin Estate in Ikoyi, and a dispute arises between Company A that's registered in Nigeria and Company B that's registered in Nigeria. They appoint an arbitrator who works in a law firm in VI. The dispute is completely circumscribed by Nigeria. That's it, it's purely domestic arbitration. The seat of arbitration is Nigeria. Now in an international arbitration, you have an international element. It could be that one of the parties is not a Nigerian entity, or it could be that the parties have agreed that an international arbitral institution will administer the arbitration. And I'll come on to explain what that means shortly. Or it could be that even though the parties are in Nigeria, they've agreed that the law that will govern their substantive rights will be English law or German law. Once you have an international element in an arbitration, that arbitration is said to be most likely going to be regarded as an international arbitration under the relevant law that governs the parties. Now, another way to think of the different types of arbitration will be in terms of commercial as against investment arbitration. In the example that I described earlier, where you have Company A and Company B being Nigerian companies, and the dispute arises in relation to a construction contract between them, that's a purely commercial relationship between both companies. But you have certain situations in which Company A might have a dispute with the Federal Republic of Nigeria. For instance, you will know that we have the Nigerian Investment Promotion Commission Act, which provides certain guarantees to foreign investors who come into Nigeria. The Act provides that their assets will not be expropriated without due compensation. You will have the right to transfer the proceeds of their investment outside Nigeria. If a company comes into Nigeria to invest, and then the Nigerian government takes actions that are in breach of those commitments, a dispute could arise between that company and Nigeria. Such a dispute can be taken to arbitration under the framework of the NIPC Act. And in that case, you will not have a commercial arbitration. You would have an investment arbitration, an arbitration that relates to the treatment given to an investment by a state. And by state here, I mean a country. Now again, I'm dealing with these explanations only on the basic level. There's of course a lot more that can be said about investment arbitration. The final distinction that I would draw is between what is called ad hoc and international and institutional arbitration. Now, in ad hoc arbitration, when a dispute arises between company A and company B, if they have an arbitration agreement between them, they come together and say, okay, we are going to have one arbitrator. Let's pick Mr. XYZ as our arbitrator to resolve this dispute. That arbitrator determines the dispute in accordance with the party's agreement and the rules in the Arbitration and Conciliation Act. But there's an alternative scenario where the parties have agreed that if a dispute arises under this contract, we will resolve the dispute by arbitration under the auspices of XYZ arbitral institution. For instance, it could be the Lagos Court of Arbitration or the Lagos Chamber of Commerce International Arbitration Center or the International Chamber of Commerce's International Court of Arbitration. Now, these arbitral institutions, what they do is that they administer arbitrations. And what does that mean? They have rules which the parties have subscribed to, which will govern a myriad of matters, how the arbitrators will be appointed, how advances on costs will be paid, where the monies will be paid to, what administrative fees will be paid, what rules the arbitrators will apply in resolving the parties' disputes. The arbitral institutions can be very important for your arbitration because they take, in a lot of cases, they deal with some of the difficulties that can arise in the arbitral process. For instance, if the claimant starts an arbitration and the respondent refuses to pay his portion of the fees, what happens? In an ad hoc arbitration, there might really be no way to deal with that. But in institutional arbitration, for instance, if you are doing arbitration under the auspices of the International Chamber of Commerce, there is a mechanism to allow to split the advance on costs such that the monies paid by the claimant will be used for dealing with the claimant's case alone. And if the respondent has a counterclaim, the counterclaim will be dismissed. So essentially, arbitral institutions can be very important. Now, final two things in terms of the overview. When we talk about arbitration, the key foundation for your arbitration is your arbitration agreement. And your arbitration agreement can be in the contract the parties signed up to before the dispute arose, or if there was no arbitration agreement in that contract, after a dispute has arisen, the parties may sign what is called a submission agreement, by which they agree to submit that dispute that has now arisen to arbitration. And the final point that I will touch upon in terms of the overview is just to give you an idea of the key legislation that deals with that concerns arbitration in Nigeria. The most important piece of legislation to know is the Arbitration and Conciliation Act. That's a piece of federal legislation in essence. Now, some states of the federation have their own arbitration laws, and the most famous amongst them, having perhaps the most modern arbitration legislation in the country, is Lagos State, which has a Lagos State arbitration law. Now, that's all in terms of the overview. I will now go on to talk about the goals of an arbitration lawyer. Now, what exactly is the goal of an arbitration lawyer when he has an arbitration case? I think, you know, you could summarize it by saying, well, his goal is to win the case. Now, but what does that mean? How do we break it down into its constituent elements? What does it mean to try to win a case in arbitration? Essentially, it means you need to try to present the client's case in the most persuasive manner. Now, crucially, because you are dealing with arbitration, you are doing so, you're presenting your client's case, recognizing that the process will involve a greater focus on the substance rather than technicalities. For most people involved in dispute resolution in Nigeria probably start out with litigation. As we all know, the litigation process has a lot of technicalities that you need to comply with. You need to sign your writ, you need to sign your pleadings, you need to ensure that your documents are admissible, you need to lay foundation in tendering your documents, etc., etc. You could lose a case in court on the basis of your failure to comply with one of the technical rules that apply. Now, when you are presenting your case in the arbitration context, it's a completely different ballgame. For starters, the Evidence Act is inapplicable. And so in presenting your case, you would recognize that there will be a much more relaxed approach to dealing with the admissibility of evidence that you would have in court. That's not to say that everything is admissible in arbitration, but at least you recognize that you are not going to win your case only because you have a technical argument to make in relation to the admission of documents. Another thing to recognize in terms of presenting your case as an arbitration lawyer is that, unlike in courts, where a court on a typical day would have 10, 15, 20 cases to consider on that day, the arbitral tribunal will typically be dealing with your case and your case alone. And what does that essentially result in? It means that they would have a lot more time to focus on what exactly you have to say to them. In court cases, you typically do not have things like opening statements, closing statements anymore. But that's a prime feature of arbitration. Typically, the tribunal wants to hear from the parties summarizing their case before you start to head back court. The judge will be writing in longhand the questions and answers given, the questions asked by the court examiner, and the answers given by witnesses. Description being done by a third party. And so you'll be able to ask questions in oil and gas, in construction, it's in maritime. As long as the party agree that the dispute will be resolved in arbitration, that's typically all that is required. But we must flag, there are certain disputes that cannot be arbitrated. Those disputes are generally referred to as non-arbitrable disputes. Now, in Nigeria, as in most countries across the world, they are the fold of arbitration. And then finally, some matters are not arbitrable merely as a matter of public policy. For instance, matrimonial causes, matters relating to crime, winding up of companies. These are matters that specific laws provide for the resolution of those disputes by a specific process before the courts. Those types of matters cannot be arbitrable. So again, to summarize, generally all commercial matters can be arbitrable, save for specific matters which, as a result of certain laws or as a result of public policy, cannot be taken to arbitration. Now we move on to the next subhead of our discussion, which is the parties involved in arbitration matters. Now, depending on the complexity of your arbitration, there could be a wide range of parties involved. So starting from from where the dispute would typically begin, a claimant. That's essentially the plaintiff, the person who has determined that the dispute has arisen under the contract and seeks to prosecute that dispute in arbitration. And then the respondent. That's the person who the claimant has sued in arbitration. Then you have your arbitrators or the arbitral tribunal. If it's a dispute in which there's only one arbitrator, then only one arbitrator will determine the dispute. If the parties, under the current Nigerian law, at least under the Arbitration and Conciliation Act, if the parties did not determine that they would have only one arbitrator, then the default would be that there will be three arbitrators. And those three arbitrators will form what is referred to as an arbitral tribunal. The next important player in the arbitration context is the registrar or the secretary of the arbitral tribunal. That's typically an individual appointed by the arbitral tribunal to assist them with the administrative aspects of the arbitral process. So that person sometimes will be the one who will send out correspondence from the arbitral tribunal. He will be the one who would reserve and pay for the hearing room, who will engage the transcriber, who will conduct any other administrative activities that the tribunal requires him or her to perform. The transcriber. Like I mentioned earlier, standard in arbitral proceedings, I've not seen any arbitral proceeding from the smallest to the biggest arbitration where the arbitral tribunal is writing in longhand the evidence being given by the parties. In virtually all arbitral proceedings, you will have a transcriber. Depending on the sophistication of the transcriber, it could be that you will have what are referred to as live notes, where as the parties are speaking, you are seeing what is being said on the screen in front of you. Alternatively, if it's less sophisticated, the transcriber takes a recording of the evidence and the proceedings, and then subsequently goes to type them out and provides them to the parties. You will have claimant's counsel, essentially the lawyers of the claimant's respondent's counsel, the lawyers of the respondent. Of course, there will be witnesses if the case will require the taking of oral evidence. And then there could be experts, depending on the nature of the disputes, who will give testimony, either as to matters of foreign law or as to specific technical matters arising in the dispute. And then the party representatives. So those are the players that you will see in your typical arbitration case. Now, moving on to the next subhead. What's the workload of a junior associate in an arbitration typically? to summarize it, essentially, the junior associate is going to do whatever the junior associate is told to do. Now, but let's break it down. What are the sort of things that you could anticipate being asked to do in an arbitration? The first, and that wouldn't surprise you, I'm sure, would be research. There would be any number of matters that would need to be researched in your arbitration, from matters of substantive law relating to the party's substantive rights, to matters of arbitration law and practice, to the selection of experts. You might be asked to go on the internet, find us an expert in relation to, for instance, in relation to construction of a floating petroleum, of a floating production and storage of floating unit, an FPSO, in deep offshore operations. Go online and find us an expert. So research is key. And as a junior associate, you're likely to be the first person who's called upon to help do the digging to get the information that's required or the law that's required to press your client's case. Now, if your case is a case that's very document intensive, where you need to, for instance, you have cases in arbitration typically where you are dealing with a dispute that relates to things that happened 10 years ago, someone is going to have to work with the client to dig up the relevant documentation, analyze that documentation, those documents, classify them, and arrange them in a format that will be usable by the more senior people who will be pleading the case on behalf of the client. There are cases in which you are going to have to seek individuals who work with your clients and have retired a long time ago. You are going to typically be the one who was asked to do all of that digging, find the relevant individuals, go and interview them and get the facts and documents that they may have at their disposal. Now, depending on your level of seniority and your proficiency in assisting with this aspect of work, drafting of pleadings, drafting of witness statements, applications, submissions, briefs is again another activity that as a junior associate you're likely to be called upon to participate in. Now, correspondence. Typically in courts, we correspond with the courts by way of our court processes and with the other side by way of our court processes. In rare circumstances, we send letters to court and letters to the counterparty. Now, in arbitration, it's a completely different ballgame. Depending on the complexity that your case assumes, there will be a lot of letters going back and forth between you and the arbitral tribunal and between you and the other side. Now, typically, it will be your role as a junior associate to be the principal drafter of the letters. Sometimes you'll be the one sending out the letters. Most often, those letters will be sent out by email. And you'd have to have a method to organize that correspondence so that it can be easily called upon as the dispute evolves. Now, preparing hearing bundles. Typically in arbitration, after the parties have submitted all their pleadings and their briefs and their evidence ahead of, and their documentary evidence ahead of the hearing, all of those documents will be put together in a single bundle for the tribunal and the parties' use at the hearing. You, the junior associate, is the one who's going to have to do that, rather grunt work. Now, managing logistics. Unlike in court proceedings where you go to court, the court is seated, the judge is seated, the registrars are there, and they do the work. In arbitration, you are going to have to set up that court setting by yourselves, i.e. by the parties' selves. So you'll have to identify your hearing venue. You'll have to procure whatever facilities are required. You'll have to arrange the catering. You'll have to transport the hearing bundles. Typically, you as a junior associate will be the one who's dealing with all of these logistical aspects of the proceeding. And then finally, the transcripts have been done by the transcriber. Someone has to read them. Someone has to proofread them. Someone has to ensure that they are complete and reflect the actual evidence and discussions that were undertaken at the hearing. That would typically be the job of the junior associate. Now, to our penultimate subhead today, how do you break into the arbitration space? The first and perhaps the easiest way to do it is to work in a firm that's known for arbitration work. Now, all of the major commercial law firms essentially do a little bit of arbitration work. So do your research, identify the ones that have a reputation for being involved in arbitration. That way, you'll get hands-on experience very early in your career, and you'll also have the opportunity to develop yourself by attending conferences, etc., which naturally will follow from the type of work that firm is doing. Now, there are only so many firms that do arbitration regularly. So another avenue to get close to arbitration is to consider working in one of the arbitration institutions, whether in Nigeria or abroad. They typically have lawyers who are working in-house and are accepting documents from parties administering the arbitration as I described earlier. So that's another place to look at for employment. Now, if you cannot get work in an arbitration law firm, or even if you have got work in such a firm, you need to get involved in the community. The easiest way to do that, I always say to junior to young arbitrators, is get involved with the young arbitrators groups. There are a lot of them. The Lagos Court of Arbitration has a young arbitrators network. There's Young ICA. The London Court of International Arbitration has a young international arbitrators group. The ICC, that's International Chamber of Commerce, has a young arbitrators forum. All of these groups are free to join. Join them, attend their events, and start to network, get involved, get people to know you, and start to volunteer to assist with the organization of conferences and events. That way, the more senior arbitrators start to know you, and they start to find opportunities for you to develop yourself and evolve into a senior arbitration practitioner yourself. Now, of course, knowledge is key. Develop your knowledge of the theoretical and practical aspects of arbitration. There are a lot of courses out there run by the Chartered Institute of Arbitrators, the Lagos Court of Arbitration, etc. Undertake those courses so that you learn about the practical and theoretical aspects of arbitration. Now, arbitration is a diverse field, and it can get very complex. As I mentioned earlier, there's investment arbitration. There's a lot in arbitration. So for those who are able to, I would recommend take a master's course that has arbitration as a module. There are also arbitration-focused master's courses. Those will help you gain greater theoretical knowledge of arbitration. And finally, patience. It takes time to become a senior arbitrator. No one is going to ask you to resolve a complex dispute when you are 2 years at the bar or 3 years at the bar. So you need to be patient. Do the groundwork, build your knowledge, build your network. And the time will come when you'll be the go-to person. Now, our final topic today will be the pros and cons of arbitration practice. Now, in terms of the pros, if you love advocacy, I love advocacy, you will enjoy arbitration because, like I described earlier, in arbitration, you are going to have a greater opportunity than you have in court to actually speak to your client, to the substance of your client's case, and advance arguments, plus examine witnesses. So if you love being on your feet and speaking and advocating on behalf of clients, you will love arbitration. Now, arbitration is also, you know, in a sense, the sexy part of dispute resolution. Typically, you're not going to be doing your hearing in a dark courtroom where the AC isn't working, the fans aren't working, everyone is squashed up together. You'll be in a snazzy hotel meeting room or in a purpose-built arbitration facility, very comfortable, purpose-built facilities. You'll have high-tech facility, transcription facilities. If you're involved in international arbitration, you could get to go and do your hearing abroad, go and interview experts abroad. So, you know, it's essentially, it can be sexy, which there's nothing wrong in seeking out arbitration for that purpose. Now, because, like I described earlier, arbitration is more likely to focus on the substance rather than the technicalities, there can be a greater sense of fulfillment when you are involved in arbitration work, in that you're able to get a decision that is just, that focuses on the substance, what exactly happened, rather than the fact that one party did not lay foundation before it tendered the document, or that some document somewhere was not signed. And finally, in terms of the pros, arbitration can be very good money. Ultimately, when you become an arbitrator, you'll be paid in a wide variety of currencies to resolve parties' cases. So if you're patient and work your way up to that point, it could be very financially rewarding for you. And finally, what are the cons? Personally, I do not see many cons of arbitration practice. The only one that I will point to is that arbitration, especially as we practice it in a Nigerian context, can be rather frustrating because of the tendency of lawyers and litigants to seek to challenge arbitral awards in court, even when there are no good grounds for doing so. That, I think, is probably the only disadvantage that I see to the arbitration practice in Nigeria. It can be very frustrating, and after you spent a lot of money in arbitration, someone is going to go and try to get the award set aside, and then you're back in court for years on end trying to resolve an application to set aside the award. So that's the end of our discussion for today. I hope that you found the discussion beneficial. Thank you very much.